Welcome to the Tuesday, March 27th, 2012 edition of the Science and Ed Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Orlando, Florida. Microsoft, the Financial Services ISAC, or FS-ISAC, and the Electronic Payment Association have launched a worldwide takedown action against the SUSE botnet. In addition, the operation targeted a number of sort of SUSE variants like SpyEye and ICE9. These botnets are known to be operated by some of the rather sophisticated criminal interests and have been around for a couple of years now and really caused some substantial financial damage. Microsoft estimates that about 13 million systems are infected worldwide with this particular malware. Now, as before, Microsoft filed a lawsuit in conjunction with law enforcement and got permission to disrupt the command and control channel for the botnet, which also included the seizure of affected servers in order to preserve evidence. Looks like actually only two IP addresses, so two servers, were really affected by this takedown action, but it affected 800 SUSE-related domains and is expected, while not to totally shut down SUSE, at least cause some substantial damage to its command and control infrastructure. But looking over Microsoft's press release, I haven't really seen if this means anything for the notification of victims. Now, SUSE victims have been notified before just by looking at who is connecting to servers or who is looking up host names that are related to SUSE. And Apple over the last few months has gotten some flack over privacy in iOS apps. One of the issues that kept coming up was how the UDID is being used by these apps. The UDID is essentially a unique hardware identifier, and it can be used by different ads to collude and figure out if a particular user is using multiple ads. This has been used, for example, by ad networks. An ad network may contract with different app developers to have its ads included, and then the UDID is used by these apps to report back to the ad network who is actually installing the app and who is seeing the advertisements. Now, Apple has started to reject applications that are using the UDID. This is something that Apple announced a little while ago with iOS 5, and it's now starting to actually enforce this policy. App developers may still come up with their own unique identifier. However, what will be prevented by this policy is that applications from various developers can collude to figure out if a particular user is using all of these different apps and is seeing the associated advertisements. And Nearfield Communications is in the news again, this time in England, where Barclays has issued about 13 million Nearfield Communication cards to its customers. At issue is the fact that these cards can be read with new NFC-capable phones. So the card that you have in your wallet could be read by someone with a phone that's NFC-equipped and is walking past you. The card number, expiration date, and the name of the cardholder can be read that way. Now, Barclays countered, this is actually not a problem. This is just the information that you see anyway printed on the front of the card, and that a merchant should not charge a card just based on that information. A merchant should also ask for a PIN or a CVV2 number, which is not transmitted as part of the Nearfield communication. Amazon, however, decided not to follow that guidance, and in this particular news piece, the reporter showed that by scanning the information from a card with a specially equipped phone, they were able to order stuff from Amazon. So really, it's now going a little bit forth and back here between Barclays and Amazon. Now, so it looks like that Amazon is violating their agreement with the card issuers here. If a card would get stolen this way, then Amazon would essentially be liable to refund the customer, and it may be fined with a more expensive transaction fees. Well, a quick news item to the end. Looks like if you love Firefox 3.6, you have to get used to a different browser. For example, the latest version of Firefox, Firefox 11. Mozilla announced that in April they will discontinue to provide updates for Firefox 3.6. Firefox 3.6 was still a popular alternative, in particular if you're trying to run extensions that didn't necessarily keep up with Firefox's more accelerated versioning scheme. And this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.